within the time, you assume that you are going in a train or some, you are traveling somewhere. Somebody comes and asks you this question. Why do you people worship only Krishna? Why not others? So whatever way you would speak to them, you speak here. You got it? I don't expect all of you, when you are presenting here, to, you know, present as much information as possible from what you have studied in the YBS course or YSA course or DYS course. There is a voluminous information available, like oceanic information. And you will not be able to pack up all of them in a short time. It's just not possible. So he spoke about Jivatattva, Shambhutattva, Vishnutattva, he explained that. And he also explained from the, it's certainly not wrong, it's wonderful. And he explained difference between demigods and Krishna, many things. So what I would ask you is, if you are in his position, if you are asked to answer this question, somebody is asking you in the train, why do you think you worship only Krishna? In 15 minutes, how will you explain to him? So we can take different approaches, and every one of us is a unique creation by Krishna. So we all may think differently. So that's why you have to present. You should think that you are just talking to someone, and that is the way I want you all to speak here. It need not be extremely formal and with all the information that is available over the scriptures, because sometimes, we can quote so many things. That is something I expected which you didn't do. Sometimes that is also not very good. For example, some people say, if you give this topic, they will quote about 25-30 verses, you know. You can quote from Upanishads, you can quote from Bhagavad Gita, you can quote from Bhagavatam. You know, one quote after quote and telling translations, and that person will go to sleep. So that is one approach, which we can do, you know, if you want. It's good that he didn't do that. He took another approach. And a third approach would be, to tell, Prabhupada would often use this, to use some pastimes to prove that Krishna is God. For example, even Shiva needed help. Shiva was being chased by Bhasmasura. So Shiva needs help. And Bhrigumuni went to all the three people, and then finally found Vishnu to be supreme. And the Vishnu is the expansion of Krishna. And also, you know, there is Satuguna, Rajoguna, Tamaguna. Three gunas are there. And for every guna, there is a deity behind every guna. And these gunas are all in higher and higher nature. Satuguna is the highest. And Vishnu is the highest deity. Vishnu or Krishna is worshipped by people in Satuguna. And people in passion and ignorance, they are allowed to worship devatas because that's all they can do. They can't do anything better. So there are logical ways we could use with some colorful pastimes. I'll explain to you. In India, what happens, people don't know so much of Vedas, Puranas, Upanishads and all. Although people have a lot of arguments. So sometimes quoting these Puranic stories and examples, it helps people to quickly accept. Makes the things very simple. Like, you know, Tasmin Tishtam Jagat Tishtam. You say, you know, if Krishna is satisfied, the whole universe is satisfied. So we tell the pastime of Akshay Patra. People are immediately defeated. They can't speak anything after that. Once they hear the pastime, they're finished. So there are some pastimes with which you can checkmate the people. That they'll be forced to accept Krishna's supremacy. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you can quote also some verses. Matta Parataram Nanyas Kinchidasti Dhananjaya. And you can say that when Krishna showed the Vishuru Pradeshan, there was Shiva also present in that. And Brahma was present in that. Indra, Chandra, Varuna, everyone was present. But you will never find Shiva or somebody else showing Vishuru where Krishna is present. Similarly, you know, it is a Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, it is that. But if you go to Shiva Purana, it doesn't say, you know, Shaivanam Yata Krishna, you know. It doesn't say like that. Only, so, there are very easy ways by which you can checkmate the people to prove that Krishna is God. Very easy. And you can say that if you see, not only Bhagavata Purana, there are many other evidences from Upanishads also which talk about one Purushottama, one Supreme. And Krishna declares himself to be the Purushottama in Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, there can be n number of approaches to proving Krishna to be God. I would suggest that any of you, while conversing with people, either in the bus or in the train while going coming, you should use more simple examples, analogies, and stories, and make them understand that Krishna is supreme. Like that. And The approach that Kuldeep took is a formal Shastric approach, where he systematically presented the truths and evidences and by which he proved Krishna's supreme, and this is also acceptable certainly. In a circle of devotees, it is very much will be appreciated. But when we meet new people, they don't have patience to accept such evidences sometimes. Some of the questions are really very brilliant questions. The question on Atharvashi is, I have also heard that too. That's what you said. Brahmastam, Vayustam, Agnastam and all that. Similarly, you will get another verse if you see. Shivaya Vishnu Rupaya, Shiva Rupaya Vishnave. So you will hear that also. There is another verse, some people chant that. So some people will wonder. Actually they say that this is added up by the Mayavadis. As a part of Krishna Sahasranam, in between it comes. Namastamasta Bhutanam Adi Bhutaya Bhuvrite Aneka Rupa Rupaya Vishnave Papa Vishnave, and then Shivaya Vishnu Rupaya Shiva Rupaya Vishnave, that is added. So if you see the traditional Vishnu Sahasranam, you won't find this. But if you find the Shankara Mat version of that, you will find this. They added these four lines, probably added the Shankara, the four lines in between. And even if it is not added by Shankara, even if it is there in the Shastra, don't be surprised. That is the answer to this question. If you read the scriptures, you will find that once Puna Singapore was said, the absolute truth is like a mysterious creature, is it? It has too many sides. From different sides it looks different, he was telling. So he said it has an impersonal aspect. It has a personal aspect, and it has several expansions, and there are infinite parts and parcels that are separated, which are, Swamsha, Vibhinnamsha, and if you read Chaitanya Chaitamrita, you will be stunned to hear about Vibhava, Sabhava expansions and that, like that. So, the Shastras explain that there is a kind of oneness in the Absolute Truth with all the expansions. Which is in terms of the quality. The Satchidananda aspect, if you see, beginning from the tiny living entities like all of us, up to Brahma, and then the Shiva and all other expansions like that, if you see. And the Shastra also explained the different qualities that different people possess. Jivas possess some 50 qualities, Shiva possess 55 qualities, Vishnu possesses 60 qualities, Krishna possesses 64 qualities. And all of them are ultimately, if you see, in Satchidananda Vigraha, everyone of them, like that. So, there are two reasons why you hear this kind of verses. One reason is, sometimes the demigods are excessively glorified by their worshippers as if they are Supreme Personality of Godhead, just to flatter them. Just like Hiranyakashipu did that with Brahma. He said, Brahma, you are everything. You are the all, you are end all. You are the supposed in the heart of everyone. And Prabhupada writes that this is a prayer that is unbefitting to offer to Brahma. He says that, you are everything, you are the greatest, you are the most mighty, there is no one superior to equal to you and things like that. So two angles you can see that. One angle is that the demigod worshippers, because they are materially motivated, they flatter their worshippers, they flatter the demigods, although they don't deserve. Just like you see politicians are glorified by their followers, isn't it? Sometimes. So sometimes the MLA is glorified by his followers. Sir, someday you become PM of India, he will say. So that he will learn some favor from him. So like that, the demigod worshipper sometimes glorifies the demigod in order to acquire something from him. Another reason we find like this is, for example, if Shiva or Brahma is glorified as a super soul in the heart of every living being, or sometimes Yamanas also, is glorified as the super soul in the heart of everyone who can see the activities of all living entities. Prabhupada explains that some of these great personalities like Shiva, Brahma, Yamaraj and all, they are endowed with special ability to know everything in their creation. They are having power as if they are super souls. That kind of power is invested by the Lord in them. They have that power. So, Prabhupada explains there that sometimes if Hiranyakashipu is glorifying Brahma like that, that you are so great and all, then we can understand that he is actually glorifying Vishnu, who is represented by Brahma. And Brahma is actually representative of Vishnu, who is invested such powers. Like for example, Sometimes you find, just like we say, the traffic policeman can stop even a millionaire coming in a car. He has the right. Although he may be earning a very, you know, paltry amount of salary. He has invested so much power by the Prime Minister of India that he can even stop a millionaire, you know, by showing hand like that. Similarly, some of these devatas sometimes are endowed with very, very great power, but that doesn't make them God. And also, if you study the kind of expansions that takes place from Krishna, you'll be amazed if you read the Bhagavatam, which explains about how after the expansions of the Vishnu Tattva said in the creation, then the Lord sends Brahma here, the first created living being. If you study his powers, you will feel as if Brahma is only God, because the Vedas are emanating from him. All the qualities like anger, pride, greed are also emanating from him. The good qualities are also emanating from him. The Sarigama Padanisa is emanating from him. And the Manasaputras are coming from the mind. You know, Atri is coming from the hand, from the thumb, from his chest, from his hand, and many different parts of the body. Many, many living beings are coming. How Brahma creates all the Saptarishis. So when you read that, it will be mind-boggling. So you will start thinking, probably Brahma is God. You think like that. So how we can understand it? The Shastras, first of all, give a bird's eye view. Bird's eye view means, take a global look at all these different personalities. Then one can easily accept that Krishna is Supreme and all are subordinate. But then go and take a local look on each of them. You will be shell-shocked. If you see, even Hanuman can show many heads. Do you know that? Hanuman gives one type of darshan. If you read in Ramayana and other places, he can give darshan with several heads. Several huge, he can take a kind of huge form. The birth is sky. He can show like that. He has such a form. Similarly, Shiva also has a panchamukha, if you see. He can show that. So every one of those personalities, if you zoom on them and take a closer look, you will start hearing so much in the Puranas, individual Puranas. One might start comparing them to be God. It is just like, for example, when you take a global outlook here, you may come to know that Radhesham is president here, you know, president of the temple, and there are 58 brahmacharis and so many in Pune. So somebody takes a closer look on Radhesham. So people may glorify so much, whether it's Radhesham or Gausandhar Prabhu or, you know, Krishna Shri Prabhu or somebody like that. You take one devotee and zoom on them. You can talk a lot about them. What are the activities? They are doing this, they are doing that. So many things you can know about a person. And it will appear that, you know, this is the greatest person I have ever met. But then now you take even a broader look. You see a spiritual master and other disciples, everyone. Then you understand that, you know, he is one amongst the many, many great devotees. You know, there are so many great devotees, and he is only one small, tiny part of the spiritual master's mission. And then if you see spiritual master in Prabhupada's mission, there are many other big souls. And these are the one amongst, you know, Prabhupada's disciples. And if you take the entire parampara and hear about Shukadeva Goswami, from there down the line, Prabhupada is a recent acharya. You understand the point? So there is a global look you can take and a local look you can take. So when you take a local look on each of the demigods, they all have their own fame and name and glory and many, many pastimes associated with them. There are many, many kathas about each of the demigods you can read in the Puranas. There are 18 Puranas and 18 Upapuranas are there. If you want to read the pastimes, like when I was in South India, I read so many pastimes about Lord Kartikeya. Lord Kartikeya and Ganesha, they perform many pastimes with Parvati and Shiva, because they are children of Parvati and Shiva. So you can take a closer look and you can hear the glories of... So there are so much glories about Skanda or Kartikeya. How he is a Deva Senapati. What are his parakramata? How he is glorious? How he saved the demigods? How he did so many things like that? So if you read over and over again, all you will understand is that he is a very great person who protects the demigods. Nothing more than that. Similarly, Ganesha, if you read, he sent Atavashi, she said. So this kind of prayer sometimes glorifies the person excessively. So we can understand that the quality aspect is being glorified. You can understand that this person is representing everyone. Representing, actually, for the Ganesha's devotee, he is representing Brahma, he is representing Shiva, he is representing Vishnu, he is representing the ultimate Parabrahman, which is ultimately Krishna, he is representing everyone. So for the individual worshipper to give the confidence and faith in the demigod they are worshipping, So there are prayers like that which are excessively glorifying them. Now one may say, why can't we think in the same way with Krishna also? So it is likely that Krishna is excessively glorified in the scriptures, just like Ganesha is glorified, or Brahma is glorified, or Indra is glorified. That's certainly a very brilliant question. So again, coming to the point of taking a global look, which it is, the Bhagavad Gita is the quintessence of all the scriptures. In Bhagavad Gita, you will find quotes from Purana. There is information from Purana which are presented in Bhagavad Gita. There is information from Upanishads presented in Bhagavad Gita. Like the two birds sitting in a tree, and the super soul. Similarly, you will find the Vedic things like Karmakanda things presented in Bhagavad Gita. Sarvesha Sarva Upanishad Gavo, Dogda Goparanandana. Partha Vasa Sukhir Bhakta, Dugdham Gita Amrita Mahal. So the Bhagavad Gita is like a goodness of all the scriptures. So one wants to know the entire essence of various scriptures, we want to go to Bhagavad Gita. It is it. Even Shankara, who is the greatest authority, he says, what he says about Bhagavad Gita? Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gita. Eko Devo Devaki Putra Gita. Ekas, Ekas Tasya, Eka Mantra Tasya Namanyani, Karma Pyekam, Tasya Deva Tasya. So, accepting Bhagavad Gita as the essence of all the scriptures, which is accepted by all the acharyas in the land, in Bhagavad Gita we find Krishna presenting a relative understanding about all the different devatas. No? And he's still explaining, you worship any devata, what you get. He set the point very nicely. Worshipping devatas and worshipping Krishna, what is the difference it says? There is one story in the Upanishad which talks about Krishna. That it actually says Parabrahma. Ultimately it says it's Krishna. So the Supreme Brahman once was very disappointed with the demigods. That when the demigods won the battle with the demons, they had become very, very proud. And the Supreme Brahman, he smiled. Of course, Supreme Brahman cannot smile without having a face. So Supreme Brahman thought that I should teach a good lesson to all these demigods because they are extremely proud. So thinking in that way, he called for all the devatas to assemble. And then he puts a small piece of grass and he tells Agni Devata to burn it. He tells Vayu Devata to blow it. So he's calling one by one, different devatas to, burn it or blow it or moisten it or different things like that. None of them are able to do anything. And all of them see so terribly insulted. They put their head down and they flee from there. So lastly, Indra is about to come and Parvati is standing there. So Parvati tells Indra, just see, the Lord has come. The Supreme God of all creation, the Supreme God has come here. And He is teaching a good lesson to all the devatas. That although you all are controllers of the material universe, ultimately, you are all under me. And your victory is achieved by you because of my help that I am giving you. Don't forget that. The Lord actually wanted to teach him, just like He taught Indra. Like this He speaks. So in that, the Lord is first called as Parabrahma, and then the Lord is called as Purushottama. And the Lord is declared as Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes the story in his writing. How there is a relative comparison given in the scriptures about Krishna and the devatas. You will find that. Even in the Upanishadic verse, it says, Akasha Paritam Toyam, Vidaga Chittagaram, Sarvadeva Namaskara, Keshavam Pradirachati. It clearly tells the word Keshava, but it just totally puts all Sarvadeva Namaskara in one lot. It doesn't even say Shiva, Brahma, Indra, Chandra. It doesn't pay so much importance to them. Sarvadeva Namaskara, it says. You worship any devata. Ultimately, all this worship is supposed to go to only one person. Who is that person? Keshava. Finished. So Keshava's name is mentioned there very clearly. So Keshava's role is very unique in the scriptures. Similarly, when the Pralaya is explained, see, the Shiva Purana talks about Shiva being the Lord of the world. Durga Devi is the mother of the world. So many of the Adiparashakti followers, they argue that because scriptures declare Durga as the mother, she is ultimate God. It may appear to be attractive. I have seen many movies on Adiparashakti. When I was a small child, I have seen so many things about Adiparashakti, what all she does. You will read that. We used to even sing this. I giri nandini nandita medini vishwavi mohini shailashite. If you read that entire description, you will see what is her role. What is Adiparashakti doing? She has a role in Srishti. She has a role in Stiti. And she has a role in Pralaya. Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya, Sadhana, Shakti, Reka. That is Adi Parashuti. Chayeva yasya bonani vibhati durga, second line says. So, she helps in the beginning creation. You know how she helps in the beginning of creation? Lord Vishnu glances at Durga, and Lord Vishnu's eyesight is called a Shambhu. So Lord's eyesight is Shambhu, that's why Shambhu is actually impregnating the Devi. So you will see one picture. Have you, how many of you have seen that picture? Devi with 12 hands, you know, having all kinds of weapons in her hand, and she's standing in front of Vishnu with folded arms, and you know, Vishnu is lying like this, and his eyesight is, you know, on her womb, you know, and her embryo is integrating with his side. How many of you have seen that picture? Mm-hmm. Oh, many of you have seen it. Okay, sometimes I can show in a slideshow the picture. You know. So, that actually she is Vishnu's sister. She is not Vishnu's wife. But she is, whose wife is she? Shiva's wife, yeah. That is why the Mahamaya is actually Krishna's sister. But when Krishna tells Mahamaya that you appear, you transfer Balaram into Devaki and the Krishna. That's why you have known, you see, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. Who is Subhadra? Sister of Krishna. So Prabhupada explains in Elevation to Krishna Consciousness that the Subhadra Mahi, actually, she only explains as Durga. Prabhupada explains that in Elevation to Krishna Consciousness. Her expansion. This is actually Krishna's sister. So, with Lord Shiva is actually Vishnu's expansion in the material world, but who is touched by matter. That Lord Vishnu is never touched by matter. Similarly, the Yogamaya in the spiritual world, who is sister of Krishna, who arranges very colorful persons between Radha and Krishna, she appears as Mahamaya in the material world, like that. So, if you read the Shastra sometimes, and they give so much, there is a Devi Bhagavatam, you know that? Just like we have Srimad Bhagavatam, there is Devi Bhagavatam, which describes a lot about Devi's activities. How she is Mahishasura Mardini, she killed the Mahishasura. And every Devata has pastimes like that. And if you read all the 18 Puranas, if anybody is interested, you can go into each and every Purana and read in great length about the Parakramata of every one of them. That an intelligent person is one, he is a Saragrahi. This word is used in scripture. Saragrahi means the wise person is one who ultimately takes the sar, the most essential sar. Although all these devatas are very great, we salute them, we respect them, but they are not supreme. That is most important to be understood. They can do wonderful activities, but they are under the subordination of Krishna. That's most important to know. So, the glorification of the devatas by the followers, either could be flattery, or if it is not flattery, if it is true, for the follower, it is talking of the oneness and quality of all living beings. Beginning from the Jiva, up to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is a kind of oneness in all of them, which is the quality. So in that sense, even if this prayer is offered, you know, Shivaya Vishnu Rupaya, Shiva Vishnu Rupaya, like that, you know, this kind of prayer is offered, you should not be shocked by hearing that. Because Vishnu only expands as Shiva, no? Isn't it? So, if one offers this prayer as Shivaya Vishnu Rupaya, it's not there, but even if it is there, I'm saying, don't be shocked. Similarly, you read this section in Bhagavatam of Shiva drinking the halahal. There is a lot of glorification of Shiva. It appears that as if it is Shiva's Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods are glorifying him. You read that section. You will wonder, how is it that they were glorifying Vishnu before and Vishnu did everything for them? Now they are glorifying Shiva. And some people even argue. There was an article in BTG, which one person wrote, saying that, you know, Vishnu, you know, he could not drink halahal. That is why he had to take help of Shiva. He could not do that. And he had asked the question, probably, you know, because Vishnu is a deity of goodness, you know, he could not accept halahal, so he told the Shiva, you know, who is Tamaguna Adipati to, you know, drink halahal. You know, probably it was too difficult for Vishnu or whatever. But if you see that section, after all the verses, the last verse is, Shiva, after seeing that he is making a concentrate of all the halahal, and then before he drinks it, he looks at Parvati and says, "My dear Parvati, for the welfare of all the living beings in the universe, and in order to please Lord Hari, Prite Hari, the word clearly is there, I am drinking this halahal," he says. Because I know very well, if I drink this, Lord Hari will be very pleased. Because Lord Hari is always concerned about the welfare of all living beings. So now, if Shiva is supreme, then why should he be concerned about pleasing Lord Hari? Who is his master? He says that Lord Hari is my master, I want to please him, that's why I am drinking this. But one verse is enough to wind up all the other verses, which glorifies Shiva to be supreme. You understand, no? That is why devotee should be very intelligent. The devotee should never get bewildered. So the Shastra says many, many things, and if a devotee doesn't have sufficient faith in Guru and the Acharyas, then one may think probably the Acharyas are not so intelligent. I am more intelligent to find out that Shiva is supreme. One may think like that. So one has known, one verse is enough to wind up all the other verses and prove that Krishna is supreme. You will see that. So, local verification of an individual certainly will appear that he is a very great person. But you have to see, take a global look, which is very important. So globally looking, Krishna is supreme, there is no doubt about that. And we have unlimited evidence to show that. Krishna showed Vishwarupa Darshan, Krishna as a baby showed inside his mouth, the whole creation to Mother Yashoda. And Krishna says, you know, Ahamadrihi Devanam, all devatas come from me. This one word is one of Ahamadrihi Devanam. I'm the source of all devatas. You heard this verse? Jana Vasita Tatvati, what is it verse? Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutas Sunvanti Divya Ispavai Vede Sangha Padakram Opanishadai Rayanti Yam Tamaga. So everything is included in this verse. It says, Yam Brahma Varuna Indra Rudra Marutas Sunvanti Divya Ispavai Brahma and Shiva and all the other devatas, they all are worshipping. And them all of them are worshipping, offering praise to Krishna. And then he says, Vedaihi, all the Vedas. The Anga Padakrama Upanishadai. And even the Upanishads also. Vedaihi Anga Padakrama Upanishadai Rajanti Yam Samagaha. All the Sama Veda is very sweet tightly. They all are very fine Krishna singing. Jnana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa. And the great yogis. Pashanti yam yogino. In their heart, the yogis are always beholding Krishna's beautiful form. Yasyantam navidusura suragana devayatasmai namo. So he's saying all the devatas, suraganaha, means all the hosts of the demigods, are worshipping that one supreme God, and he is Krishna. He says that. Surya Goswami sings this. So we can quote many such verses to show, but you never hear, nowhere in no Purana you will find Krishna is joining hands with, you know, Brahma, Indra and all of them and worshipping some demigod. You will never hear that. You will never hear that. But Krishna is with all the other demigods going to worship Shiva or going to worship some demigod. You will never find that. Only as a pastime, sometimes you find, he called it appropriate example, exactly Prabhupada says is what he said, with respect to Shiva worshipping Rama and Rama worshipping Shiva before going to Lanka. So Prabhupada says, Lord Krishna even washed the feet of Sudama, that doesn't make Sudama God. And Krishna is his subordinate. He says that. Lord does the Sarira, he says. So, we can understand that we should not be one-sided in understanding the Shastra. We have to take an overall understanding to understand who is Supreme. Then one can be convinced. Actually, I have been reading different things before coming to ISKCON, but I was doubly and triply convinced about Krishna supremacy because I find that there are many, many evidences from various sources showing Krishna to have a unique position compared to other demigods. Like, you know, when all the Pralaya takes place, it explains that everything goes into Krishna's mouth. Like, this is said by Bhishma Pitama. The verse where he says, he is saying the devatas, the devotees, you know, if you say, compare them with Krishna Bhaktas, there is a great difference, he says. What difference he observes, he says, Nakrodo, Nakamatsaryo, Nalobo, Nashuba, Matihi. He's saying, Nakrodo. Krishna Bhaktas have no krodh. He's saying, Nakrodo, Nakamatsaryo. They have no matsarya. Nalobo. They have no greed. Na Ashuba, Matihi. They never have any bad mentality to harm others. He's saying, Nashuba, Matihi. Nakrodo, Nakamatsaryo, Nalobo, Nashuba, Matihi. Bhavanti Krita Punyanam, Bhaktanam, Purushottame. So he uses the word Purushottama there. Now you wonder who is the Purushottama. Eventually he will say who is the Purushottama. Jyavsa Chandrarka Nakshatrak Kandisho Bhur Mahodadihi. He is saying Jyav Sa Chandrarka Kandisho Bhur Mahodadihi. Everything has said. Sky, earth, and air, and sun, moon, stars, everything has included. Jyavsa Chandrarka Nakshatrak Kandisho Bhur Mahodadihi. Vasudevasya Viryena Vidritani Mahatmana. Now he has introduced the word Vasudevasya Viryena. All these things are sustained by Vasudevasya Viryena, Krishna's Virya, potency. Chaitanya Mahatmana, Sasura Asura Gandharva, and this whole universe, Sa Asura Asura Gandharva. So he's saying the Asura, Sura, Devatas, demons, Gandharva, Sasura Asura Gandharva, Sayaksha, Uragalakshasam. Sa Yaksha means the Yakshas, Uraga means the snakes and the hellish planets. Rakshasas means the demons. Actually, Rakshasa and Asura are two different things. Asuras are against Prabhupada Vishnu and Rakshasas are like demoniac beings. Jagat Vashe Vartate Idam Krishna Satarasaram is saying. Jagat Vashe means the whole universe is under the wash of Jagat Vashe Vartate Idam Krishna Satarasaram. The whole Charachar in this creation is under the wash of Krishna. You can see that. So then he says that Purushottama is actually Krishna. He says that. Everything is under Krishna. So this is not the only quote I am saying. There are unlimited quotes like this. And you will find in different places in scriptures. Various places. There are comparisons made between devatas. Like you find Krishna going to Yamaloka and bringing their children as Sandipanimini, his son of Sandipanimini. You see him going to Varuna Devata and bringing, you know, his father, isn't it? He takes Arjuna and goes to Brahma Jyoti and the horses, you know, it's very blinding, you know, they just turn their face away like this. You know what Vishal is that time? Anybody knows? Sushin Chakra. He sends that. And then the horses are able to proceed even beyond Brahma Jyoti into Vishnu Loka. There Vishnu is lying. And he goes to Vishnu and then he says, by the side of Vishnu, all the children are there. And Vishnu is smiling. I just wanted to take your darshan, my Lord. Vishnu is saying. That's why I brought all the children here. I know that, you know, nobody can come here to pick up the children except you. That's why I was waiting for you. Vishnu is saying that to whom? Krishna. Although many times you say Krishna and Vishnu are same, here we can understand that Krishna also has independent existence. It's not that they both are same. Even Vishnu is worshipping Krishna. He is giving back the children. So if you see Krishna's activity, you don't hear any demigods doing this. Like you find Skanda Lord, Kartikeya doing many wonderful things. But he climbed up on Palani, it's there in South India, top of the hill and went and stood there. I have not heard of Skanda going beyond that anywhere. You don't hear him going out of this universe anywhere. You don't hear such pastimes, you know. He married one Dalli. Srivalli Deva Senapati. So he's a Deva Senapati, he marries on Srivalli. His pastime says that how he married this scavenger woman. So there are pastimes of demigods you can read very, very elaborately. As far as I have read all the different pastimes of Ganesh and Kartikeya and Shiva and Adiparashakti. After reading all of that and seeing many, many movies and different pastimes, my understanding is this. I have never seen any of them going out of this material world, doing any pastimes there. Also, you don't hear that. And crossing Brahma Jyoti and doing something there. You don't hear it like that. And I don't see any of them going to Yamaraj and bringing children back, going to Varuna Devata and bringing. You just don't hear like that. It's just not possible. And you will hear many times these devatas being defeated by Krishna. Like you will hear Shiva being defeated by Krishna. You know that? Banasura pastime. Hear that. See the Shiva chasing after chasing the Bhasmasura is accepted by Shiva Bhaktas. Do you know that? It's not that, you know, only Vishnu's devotees accept this pastime. Even the Shiva's devotees know this pastime of Shiva being chased by Bhasmasura and is accepted. In South India this is a very famous pastime. Everyone knows that. So only thing is people don't put their head and try to understand that if Shiva is God, how can he be chased? Is it a pastime wheeler that is running from somebody who is going to crash his head? So, one has to take a global look to understand who is who. So, there is another interesting question. Why the Lord fulfills the demigod's boons to Hiranyakashipu and other things like that?
Of ignorance that they are worshipping somebody as supreme, but later if they come to know, like in the examples of Yamadutas,
they were thinking Yamaraj is ultimate supreme. Yeah, that's the third reason is very valid, what you said. That's very true, yeah. Because many times you just don't know there is somebody above him. Then we worship the Lord whom we know as ultimate. That's true, yeah. That's very, very true. So we are like a frog in the well. So we're thinking our own Lord to be the ultimate Lord. Then afterwards when you take a global look, then you understand who is who and where is the position of the Demigadya. That's a good point. Yeah. So when Lord comes to this world, does he fulfill all the rules and regulations as human beings follow? Or he shows his independent nature and supremacy to the world? He does both. We will see that. Generally speaking, the Lord follows the morals and codes that are given for the human beings. Why? For example, I am president of the temple. I make two managers to run the temple. I also follow the rules and regulations of the temple. Like I try to come to class in time, I try to be punctual. And if I don't come to class in time, I also take the punishment. So that, just like any other devotee, I also set an example so that people will not imitate me. So, these two managers will be subordinate to me, but still I, by following the rules and regulations very carefully, I set an example for the well-being of all people in the temple. Similarly, Lord comes to this world, like you know, Lord Ram worshipping of his father and following the instructions of his father is such a good example to all of us. Anybody in this world, so one should be obedient to mother and father, one should be obedient to elder. How one should treat one's brother and one's family members. Lord Ram's example is a very great ideal for every common man to follow. That's why it's called Maryada Purushottam. So Lord follows that. Even Krishna you will find, although he's the god of all gods, he is bowing down to Yudhishthira. He is embracing Arjuna. And he is accepting the obeisances of Nakula and Sahadev. Like that you find that he follows all the law codes, even in the scriptures. And he is bowing down to Kunti and touching the feet of Kunti. Taking the dust on his head. Accepting her as auntie. He's doing that. Although he is god of all gods. So, generally speaking, the Lord follows the etiquettes that are commonly followed by other living beings. And Lord does not break the law. Why? For example, I appoint managers and I myself break the rule. So what happens? It will become a breach of trust, isn't it? You know what is breach of trust? Like, you know, I appoint somebody as a ruler and then I overrule them by breaking the rule that they have made. I say, Gaurlapu is the current manager. I tell Gaurlapu, I am making you manager. You make some policies. And he makes a policy. Everyone should come for prasadam at 1 o'clock and those who come late will not be allowed. And I come in between 1:15 and I sit there. And then along with there are some four people waiting and they will also come and sit in between, seeing me. You understand, no? And then he will think, what is this? Why did he empower me? He will think like that. So generally, Lord also, in order to keep law and order in the world, he follows the rules and regulations very naturally, like anybody else. So that's how he looks like ordinary human being, for the common people. Avajayanti, Mamuda, he says. But sometimes Lord breaks these rules for two reasons. Sometimes he purposely breaks the rule. One is when he finds that those whom he appointed in posts and positions, if they become proud like Indra became proud, not knowing that they are Lord's representatives, the Lord breaks the law to prove to them that you are not autonomous, you are not supreme. Lord breaks through in between and teaches them a very good lesson, as he did with Indra. And at the same time, another reason why the Lord does like that is to, he says, the Shukadeva Goswami says, transgressions of the Lord, transgressions of law by the Supreme is to testify his supremacy. He writes that very wonderfully. So Lord sometimes wants to show the world who he is. How will you come to know? So he goes to Yamaraj, Yamaloka, and bring the, you know, give son of my guru. Nobody will do that. So Lord, a common man cannot do that, you know, go to Yamaraj and ask the son back. Or go to Varuna and get his father back. Go to Vishnu and get the children of the Brahmanas. He is doing all that. So by breaking the common law of the world, if you see like that. Lord does that. Sometimes, you know, he lifts the Govardhan hill and he gave protection like that. So to testify his power, like dancing with gopis, he doesn't care for the world. Let the world think whatever they want to think of me. I just don't care because I am the Lord. Lord means above the law, is it not? Like in if you see Maharashtra, even the Chief Minister of Maharashtra, he does not have to follow the traffic rules. Do you know that? He has no traffic rules. Like NG Road is one way, he can exactly come in the opposite way if he wants. He's given the freedom like that. And he can climb any plane he wants at any time. He doesn't have to pay a single penny. Even other Teresa is given that facility, you know that? Not only her, some special people are given the facility. They can climb any bus, any train, any flight, any time they want. And they should be offered a seat respectfully and be allowed to travel. And they don't have to pay anything. And they can, even if there is red signal, they can break the signal and their car can go. Do you know that? So if the ordinary chief minister of a small state like Maharashtra has given that facility, how much more facility the lord of the universe must be having, you see. So, in a company, sometimes the managing director of a company or owner of a company comes. And for each of the managers, there is a section allotted. This is MD's place for keeping parking cars. This is works manager's place. And he can bring his car and park it anywhere he wants. Isn't it? So he's the owner of the company. Nobody can ask him why. Similarly, even if Krishna dances with the gopis, or even if the gopis are the wives of other gopas, ultimately Krishna is the only pati of all the jivas. Every one of us is female, feminine. So once I asked, there are only two genders. Anybody knows what are the two genders? Who knows? Somebody said, two genders, male and female, they said. The two genders are master and servant. There's only one master and there are unlimited servants. So we all are unlimited servants. And Krishna is the only master. He is the pati of all patis. So he is above the law. He cannot be bound by law. He can go to a shop and say, give me the clothes. Because ultimately, even if the clothes belong to Kamsa, it belongs to Krishna ultimately. Doesn't it? Like that. You can tell Kutya, put the sandal yourself on me. You can say that. Of course, God doesn't demand unnecessarily for his benefit because he possesses everything. He demands it for their benefit. So that the server who serves him, he will get the benefit for that. So, the Lord need not fulfill the boons given by Brahma. But he, in that pastime, God is purposefully fulfilling to tell the world, my dear souls who are wandering in this world with your enjoying mentality, my dear souls who are all tiny Hiranyakashipus, just look at me. That great Hiranyakashipu who lived long ago, that Hiranyakashipu, he was so mighty, he conquered all the three worlds. And he thought himself to be more intelligent than me. And he asked for such boons. And without breaking the law, I killed him. By taking into account all those intelligent, cunning plans that he made. If such a Hiranyakashipu is killed, what is your platform? What is your level? So don't try to use your intelligence to make cunning plans against me. Or not to serve me. Don't waste your life. So Lord comes to teach that. So even if you are very tricky, if you are, like he says, Shatav Shakyam, he says, Chanakitis. If you are very cunning, Lord can be 10 times more cunning than you. If you are a gambler, Lord says, I am the best of the cheats, he says. Lord is the best of the cheats. So nobody can, that is why I was very attracted to Krishna because if you see the other gods, they appear to be, very pious in behavior, many of the devatas, if you see. But Krishna has a very special and unique bent. If you see, people think, they can tease girls, but Krishna says, I am also teasing girls. In fact, your teasing girl is a tiny reflection of my teasing girls. Do you think you are a big hero teasing your college girls? No, I am teasing so many gopis in the spiritual world. So when I read that in Prabhupada's the TKTA, second or third page, that was the time, for the first time, I got a taste in ISKCON moment. When I heard that Lord teaches gopis, Lord teaches girls, and in this world, what you see boys teasing girls is simply a perverted reflection. If you tease girls here, you'll get a chappal beating. They'll beat you and kick you. Girls generally will beat you on the head. But when Krishna teaches the gopis, their hearts are thinned with love for Krishna. They keep remembering Krishna again and again. So Krishna is not ordinary Lord. The more you study the Shastra, of course, you have to prove that Krishna is supreme. That's one thing. And after understanding the supremacy, when you go deeper into the spontaneous love, if one understands the nature of Krishna's spontaneous love, then that helps you to understand Krishna's supremacy far more than proving his greatness. Actually, greatness can be established to prove one's supremacy, but that doesn't satisfy you as much as when you learn his spontaneous nature with his devotees in the spiritual world, the nature of God when you learn it. So, Lord is not obliged like the demigods are obliged. Like Hiranyakashipu brought Brahma down, do you know that? By force, by his penance. But nobody can bring Krishna down. It's understand Patata. He is not obliged to anybody. Because Krishna is not materially motivated. Krishna's devotee is worshipping with love only. Only by love he can be brought. No other thing. So somebody was asking, very difficult to accept. You can tell them to have the mic. Certainly for the Saturday meeting, you have to make many changes. If you are going to hold a meeting, it was right there. He says that there is Krishna's instruction, Upadesh, in Bhagavad Gita, which is for his devotees. So should we do what Krishna is doing, or should we follow his instructions that are given in the scriptures? What do you think we should do? Huh? How many of you say follow instructions? Okay. How many of you say we have to do what the Lord is doing? Oh, nobody. That may be true with respect to Krishna. But generally, we also take the example of a person and we follow what he does. Like Lord Ram is offering obeisance to Dasharatha, so we also offer obeisance. Lord Ram is strictly following his father, so we also follow. Lord Ram is taking Ekapatni breath, so those who marry, they take Ekapatni breath also. So it's not wrong to follow what the Lord is doing. Same thing a person can follow. There's nothing wrong. Many a time, present Prabhupada says, whenever there's a confusion, because the Lord's activity appears to be bewildering, and one sees like that, then at that time, it's better for one to follow the Lord's instruction than what the Lord is doing. You can't imitate him. For example, Lord is dancing with gopis. When you see that, it can be bewildering. The Lord is dancing with so many, so can I imitate that? No, I can't imitate that. Because the Lord is lifting Govardhan Hill, and he is 7 years old and 8 years he is dancing with the gopis. So neither can I lift Govardhan Hill, nor I can dance with so many girls. No, so many girls won't want you also. This world. Because we are not so beautiful like Krishna, nor are we opulent like him. We can't supply them so much. We don't have agility. We are not Krishna. So we can't imitate him. Maybe when you are in college, you know, you can take the stick and do this, what is that? Bandiyaras. That is only a nice dream for a few days. Once you pass out, then you have to face the reality. But get married to somebody and have some children and take care of one family properly. All your dandaras is finished. But Krishna in the spiritual world, he is dancing eternally. He is dancing eternally with the gopis. So better we worship him instead of imitating him. So it may be difficult for us to accept the Krishna standard. It is true. Krishna is a very special law. He can't imitate his activities. Because he is supreme, Prabhupada says that, then what is the meaning of God, being God? He doesn't do anything like that. Then what kind of God is that God? Prabhupada once is arguing with one person, saying, see, God means you have to follow this, you know, just follow this, you know, he's counting one by one. You know, like we are following this, God has to follow. Then Prabhupada is saying, if you are putting all these rules and for God has to follow you, then you are God. Isn't it? Just follow everything that you say. If you try to put a square box and say, God, sit into this, you know, you can't come out of this, then he is not God. He has to have freedom. He can do anything he wants, anytime he wants. He doesn't have to even give you reasons why he does what he does. That is the meaning of God. God means he cannot be controlled by anybody. But Krishna is such a wonderful God that anybody who has fallen in love with him, or anybody who hears from pure devotees, will only develop love for him seeing his activity. If one becomes a proper devotee, one gives up enjoying mentality, then all Krishna's activities are relishable to the ears of the devotee. So there is nothing in the Lord's pastimes that can bewilder a devotee. Lord's pastimes are very relishable and very acceptable. The only problem is when we have the disease, we have the cataract in the eyes, you know. As we have the disease, everything looks true too, you know. Although it's only one, it looks the same way. If we have a disease, cataract in the eyes, then large activities appear to be unacceptable to us, like that. A devotee will never imitate the Lord, claiming oneself to be God. A devotee will always follow the teachings of God. So somebody said, Krishna is too great to approach, and how can I be confident that he is reciprocating and all, and things like that he asked. Prabhupada clearly says in one of the purports, Antavutta Palantesham, I think. He says, Krishna is the Prime Minister of India. And all the Nigards are like the different departmental ministers. Education Minister, Water Department Minister, Independence Minister. If the government of India says, pay so much tax to the government, and you don't want to pay 10,000 rupees, so what do? You better go to some minister and bite his ears and tell him, if you pay 5,000, is it all right, instead of 10? That's too much. And he says, okay, you pay 5,000 and pay me 1,000. I'll take care. Don't worry. So he takes a bribe from you, 1,000. And then you fit the job in 5,000. So where he gives the 5,000? He gives it to government only, finally. And he puts it. But somehow he makes some gulmal, some golmal leader, by which he fits in that 5,000 rupees, and you are at peace, thinking that you are at peace like that. But then there is always a risk for you. Many times income tax may come to your house for a raid. That fear is always there. Whenever people play this income tax, you know that? They have the fear of. Similarly, those who worship demigods, they are unable to fulfill the Sarvadharman Paritya standards, which is 10,000 rupees. So, Krishna says, Sarvadharman Paritya, hey, too much. God is demanding too much. Then they go to demigods and say, God is saying, Sarvadharman Paritya, what can I do? Then they say, okay, don't worry. That is too much for you, come to me. I am there, don't worry. Okay, you do a little bit of surrender. I will give material benefits also. Krishna generally doesn't give, I will give you, don't worry. And you do this kind of worship for me. Actually, you know, this is impure worship, but still you do it, no problem. I accept such things. And I will pay whatever you have paid me, I will pay to the Lord. And then, but the only problem is you have some risk. Because if you don't totally surrender, such as income tax rate comes. Similarly, those who get things from the demigods, they are never peaceful. They are always in trouble. You will see them. The Shastra, those who worship Shiva, or the Ravana worship Shiva. You can see that they always have problems, those who worship demigods. So, the scriptures clearly show the difference between worshipping out of love and worshipping out of material motivation. There is no ambiguity. If somebody says, I want to approach Krishna only through Shiva, there is no problem. Worship Shiva, understanding him to be Krishna's servant. Then there is no problem. Many people who ask this question, why not you worship Krishna and Shiva, he's at all Bhakta only. But they don't see him as Bhakta, they see him as Supreme, which is the second offense. The problem. So, we have to wind up now. We have to go for the kirtan. So, says that Krishna doesn't want to do any activity himself. He gets it all done through the Vishnu forms. That is the actual answer for that. Like Mahavishnu, Guru Lakshmi, Shiva Raksha Vishnu, and the many different Vishnu forms. And they all actually do many activities. And we don't have much information about all the other Vishnu forms. Like there are many, many Vishnu forms spiritual work. With our limited brain substance and with the scriptural information, we can know something. We can't know exactly why Krishna expands so many forms. All of them respecting with their own devotees. We can know one thing, that Krishna is an enjoyer and he doesn't do any activity, he does it through the Vishnu and other forms. Like that.
Is there any scripture where any of the demigod is mentioning himself as a supreme?
Lord Shiva is mentioned as the Lord of the material world. There is no mention that he is the Lord of material and spiritual world of Krishna. He says, no, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, Matta Sarvamata. Like that, there is no demigod who says that. Like he says, no, Namaste Yastu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya. Vishwaraya means Lord of Vishwa, material world. Namaste Yastu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya Mahadevaya Triyambhagaya Tripurantagaya Trigalagnikalaya Kal. So, if you see that, actually, I was very convinced about this because whenever you talk of Shiva, it talks only about material world. Does not talk about spiritual world. That's all.
Like Janma Karvacha and Bhoktara, like Aam Lokas, Aam Sarvasya Prabhu.
Yeah.
No demigod mentions this.
Absolutely not demigod mentions this. Yeah. Yes. So thank you very much, Kiritu. Very nice presentation. So next week, who is presenting next week?